They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I am Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today we have someone who seems to have a crystal ball, because everything he has told us in the past seems to be coming to true, and I am talking about none other than Dr. Gary Solomon. Gary, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always a great opportunity.
Yeah, you've been busy.
I have been busy.
You have been busy. You've been very busy. I haven't talked to you about everything. I've been hearing about some of the stuff that you've been up to, and you sort of mentioned a little bit, and we'll get into that.
Okay.
But there was one article that I saw in, well, first of all, I have to tell people that every time I'm out there, I'm hearing you, and I'm seeing you, and I'm thinking about you because of all the stories that we seem to be coming up with. You have talked for years about how HOAs can make you physically ill. And there was an article out of Florida where a man was hospitalized.
Yes.
Because Yes. of what his HOA did. And his HOA tried to evict him because he had a garden without getting approval.
Yes, it's these kinds of incidents are now rampant. Many of them aren't reported. Those that are reported don't make their way to the news. But I can tell you that medically, we're seeing more and more problems as it relates to stress-related illnesses associated with homeowners associations. And it's going to take a little while longer before the medical community begins to recognize this as the serious problem that it is. I refer to it as HOA syndrome, something that I coined about 6 years ago. Your listeners are welcome to go on and read about it on HOASyndrome.com. But the reality is that the stress that people are under in homeowners associations are causing a wide range of illnesses that people are now getting medical treatment, but they don't realize how serious it is.
This guy had a heart attack. He ended up in the hospital. He's a 72-year-old man who was thrown out of his own house because of a garden, because he planted vegetables instead of fruit.
Yes. I think it's so important for the listener to understand, because I constantly hear, how is this possible? How can this happen? Your listeners need to understand, these people that are doing this get a great deal of pleasure from harming other people. This is the same as bullying. It is the same as war. And the person who had the heart attack, that sounds horrible to us. But the people who caused the heart attack, it was a celebration. They won a war. They got great pleasure from it. And this is hard for us to imagine. But really, if we look at war-related issues, don't people celebrate when other people are harmed in a war?
You know,
don't we yell and cheer?
One of the articles says that in February, residents cheered when the announcement was made that Negron would be evicted.
Yes.
They cheered. His neighbors cheered that he was going to be homeless. A 72-year-old man, and the reason was because he had planted vegetables instead of fruit. What on earth is going on?
As time passes, I begin to understand more and more as a psychologist that people seek pleasure in very odd ways, at least odd to me. And so let us take for a moment something completely extraneous. Let's assume for a moment you go to a football game, and you go to that football game, and you're cheering for Team Blue, and they're against Team Red. When Team Blue goes against Team Red, and someone on Team Red, they're going after him, don't the people in the stands yell, kill him, kill him, get him, kill him, hurt him? That's the same mentality that is used when it comes to this kind of thing. We get pleasure in seeing people get hurt. That is to say, some people do. The other group of people make money on it. And so this is the first, the perfect combination. Those who get pleasure and those who make money. Those who make money ride on the backs of those that get pleasure, because the ones that are getting pleasure are the ones that will push this to the extreme.
But do we have no heart left? We're looking at evicting, making a 72-year-old homeless. Are we heartless?
Well, yes. I understand your use of the word heartless, but it's overridden, and I won't get into the technical jargon, but it's overridden by an individual's need to get pleasure. Back to the football game. Are we heartless when we yell, kill him, get him, anything to win? The same thing takes place in the Homeowners Association. This is anything to win. And so if somebody's hurt or dies, or, and the thing that's also been happening, the family members, the heirs who might get the inheritance, they're all losing all that money. They're just collateral damage to a very large picture called, I'm having fun. I enjoy this. Now, whether they will deny it up and down, but the truth is they're getting pleasure from it. And in terms of have we become heartless, history shows us, and I've spent a lot of time the last year studying the background of wars and how we harm people, history shows us that we go after each other, that we go after countries and communities and states and villages for the pure purpose of getting pleasure from doing it.
It's a really sad commentary. We talk about communities. We talk about living in a community. In fact, the people who make money on this call them communities. But
yes.
Do people act like that in a community, or is this just sugarcoating something that's really nasty underneath?
I think that the use of the word community does sugarcoat it. I think it does create a disguise that what it is. It's really a ghetto. Each of us that are in homeowners associations are living in ghettos. Now, yes, they're very nice ghettos, and they got nice houses, and they got nice streets, and they got nice lawns. But they're ghettos because, by definition, they're being controlled by other people who can do anything they want to anybody in that ghetto. And as I've continued to study, especially in the last year, the real reason that this is continuing is because the government is making so much money on this that they cannot, nor do they have a desire to stop it. And this is very confusing to people. How is the government making money? Let me take a moment to explain. Every time you buy a home, you pay property tax. And when you pay property tax, it covers the cost of the streets and the lights and the lamps and the anything that's in the city or the state. But when you buy a home in an HOA, you still pay property tax, but you pay HOA dues, and those HOA dues pay for the streets and the lights and the sidewalks. That means that the city doesn't have to expend any money in an HOA. They're not going to do anything to stop that, because all that money now goes to salaries and wages and hiring and increasing the size of the government body. The government supports the HOAs because they want the income from the HOAs. but it's disguised because it doesn't look like that.
Well, it's not that they support them. What they do is they mandate them. And so it's a form of double taxation. You're absolutely right. But there's an industry that's grown up around this that feeds off at the trough of the homeowners associations, and that's a $50 billion, with a B, dollar annual industry. So
it's
homeowners... It's every year it gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started doing this, it was only about $20 billion. Now it's 50. It's more than doubled in in the last 10 years or so.
Yes.
And we're paying for it.
And we are paying for it. The citizens of the United States are paying for it, whether it be townhouses, whether it be homes, trailer parks, anything where people can make money off of other people, they're going to do this. And they do this without any conscience whatsoever. And they do it to the detriment of the homeowner and to the great pleasure of the recipient of the money. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, I decided to attend one of these fairs where HOA community and communities and businesses gather to sell their wares.
Yeah,
it was disgusting. The collection companies that were there, the lawyers were there, people who tow the cars that were there, all of these concerned making money on the homeowners.
Yeah,
what's remarkable is that it is inevitable that those people who are doing that also have family members that are being affected.
Yes.
They're eating themselves.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I talked to one of the CAI people, one of the top people at CAI a few years ago, who said, oh, my parents were, targeted by their HOA. Of course, he doesn't live in an HOA, but his parents did. And he said, fortunately for them, they had me and I could guide them through it. So they're doing okay. But if it's your parents, Gary, or my parents, you know, they're screwed. Or Mr. Negron, he's going to be homeless because he had a tear in his screen and he had was growing vegetables instead of fruit on his property. I mean, come on.
That's correct. And the remarkable things that are connected to this, all of us are going to age and all of us are going to die. And at the end, I'm not sure how these people will justify this in their mind. But one of my goals is to try and find those individuals who have aged, who are in retirement homes, are in hospice, and talk to them and ask them how they feel about having done this to people. It's going to be tough to find them, but I'm beginning to track them now.
Have you talked to any of them?
Not yet. I've not been able to find any of them yet. They tend to slide off into nowhere. But now I'm doing a better job of tracking them because I'm tracking them while they're in the HOAs, while they're living there, while they're on the boards, while they are practicing attorneys and collection agencies. And as they age and leave the business, I continue to track them.
But so many of them, whenever I've had any of them on, so many of them do not live in an HOA.
Yes, they know better.
They understand what they're getting into. Unlike housing consumers who have no choice because everything is in an HOA because the government mandates HOAs.
That is correct.
And they think they're buying a piece of the American dream, and they end up being caught in this horrible, horrible situation. I mean, not everybody is going to get, not everybody's going to get victimized, but there's so many of them.
You know, you might mention to your viewers, and I did this very early on, those of you viewers who are familiar with how to use the search engines on the internet, to pick up an old episode of Twilight Zone called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. And it comes from Twilight Zone. It's about 60 years old, but it clearly depicts what's going on. And it talks about the way neighbor goes after neighbor goes after neighbor, ultimately to the advantage of others. Very well done.
It's The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street?
Maple Street or Maple Drive, I apologize. Could be Maple Drive.
Okay.
But all they have to do is type in "the monsters are due on Maple Drive or Maple Street," and it will pop up, and then they can watch it.
So that will explain what's going on in the U.S. right now.
Yes, and absolutely.
And what we're trying to take to the rest of the world.
Yes. And I would tell you, I also get emails now from places such as London, parts of Europe,
yes,
where the same thing is going on.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't just us. It's just that we're the forerunners of this. But people who are making money want this to go worldwide. We want to control your life, your neighborhood, above and beyond taxation. So we pay taxes once, and then we pay again to the HOA. It's a beautiful system for corruption.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm not sure I'd call it beautiful, but it certainly is very easy for the people who are corrupt to manipulate this. But, yeah, the Community Associations Institute, and there goes that word again, community. Maybe we should call it the ghetto.
Yes, I call it the ghetto now. I don't call it community anymore. It is a ghetto. And people don't like that word, but let's call it what it is. A ghetto is a place where people live who are controlled, and they can leave the ghetto, and they can come back to the ghetto. But now there are situations such as individuals who aren't allowed to have visitors into their ghetto because they have a fine or they owe some dues. So they're stopping them at the gate. Now there are places that are now beginning to charge for coming in and out of the gate. Now there are places that are examining and will have, without a question of a doubt, drones flying over the neighborhood. And that, I believe, will be the breaking point. Because when that happens, I think that individual homeowners are going to start pulling out those guns, and they're going to start firing at those drones. And now we're going to see a real nightmare.
I sent you this morning an article that was written by one of the HOA attorneys about delivery drones.
Yes.
And how they want to control what flies into the ghetto.
Yes.
I'll use your word, Gary. I like it. Into the ghetto. And I sent it to you, and although that had nothing to do with what we were planning on talking about, but I found it interesting because now they want to control your Amazon packages being delivered to you by drone.
Yes.
Because they're afraid of, you know, anything that might happen. But when they start using drones to come and look in your window.
No question.
Then it's not going to be such a hazard, is it?
Absolutely. And they're going to do it 24 hours a day. And they're going to be people who love it. And they love looking through your windows and look at so-and-so. Well, we can't have that in our neighborhood. And look what they have in their house. We can't have that in our neighborhood. And on and on and on. The packages? Well, we have a solution for that. Let's upcharge the package delivery companies so that they can deliver that package. Who's going to get charged for it? The homeowner. How about UPS? Why don't we charge them for entering into the gate? Why don't we go ahead and pay them a gate fee? How about the mail? Why don't we charge a gate fee to deliver the mail? And on and on. The reason for this is that the individual attorneys, collection companies, management companies, the only way that they can give themselves a raise? By charging more fees. Let me give you an example of how they do that. And I don't know that people have talked about this. One of the things that happens when letters are sent to the homeowner, the individual homeowner is charged for the mailing of that letter, especially if it's certified. Well, I have files right now where people are sent 12 and 13 of the same letter on the same day, charged for certified mail at the rate of $25 per letter. Now, what's the purpose of sending 12 copies? Money. There's some kids sitting somewhere preparing certified letters for the sole purpose of generating money to the collection company, not the HOA. The HOA doesn't get this money. The collection company does. The management company does. It is the perfect system for greed and corruption.
The legislation was enacted in Maryland last year that limits how much association attorneys can charge, because that has been a problem. It seems to me that that's not going far enough if you're going to have collection agencies and management companies with the ability to charge indiscriminately.
That's correct. That's correct. It's not going far enough. And there is no way that this is going to stop unless the government steps in and says, you can't make more than X amount of dollars on an individual homeowner. Let me give you an example of how that plays. Let's go as far as the foreclosure. Mrs. Smith has been foreclosed on her property for an amount of $5,000. Mrs. Smith has $200,000 in equity. Wouldn't it make sense that if she's foreclosed, that she gets the $195,000 back? But she doesn't.
She doesn't
because it's been foreclosed on, and now someone profits on it.
Well, quite often someone in the HOA buys it for what they allege she owes. So $200,000, yes, and she owes $200, they'll sell it for $200 or $1,000 or whatever. So somebody pays cash and owns that, and she's still on the mortgage.
That is correct.
And she's still liable for the mortgage unless her house is paid for, in which case she loses all of her equity.
That's correct. And speaking of that, that puts her then in a tax liability. Now, as a result of that, let me give you another example of something that I've learned. Let's assume for a moment that you pay a fine of $100 to your HOA. When you pay that $100 fine, it's not a tax-deductible event. You can't write it off in your taxes. But when it arrives at the HOA, it's considered income. Therefore, your HOA has to pay income. Look at the beauty of what this is in terms of tax income to the government. You can't write it off, but it's taxable at the other end. This is perfect.
I'm not sure it is taxable, Gary. I don't think HOAs pay taxes because they're not for profits.
Right. It would, if it arrives at the management company, if it's an income dollar
at the management company. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The management company's not for profit. And you're right. It's the management companies. You know, they'll go and they'll lobby and say, oh, these poor HOAs and they need the money and everybody. But it's not the HOAs that are getting it. It's the management companies. It's the attorneys. It's the collection agents. It's all of these bottom feeders that feed at the trough of the homeowners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The HOA gets very little of this money. The only thing the HOA can get is what the HOA is due in terms of a fine or in terms of a fees and dues. Everything else, all the cost of getting it, goes directly in the hands of its management, collection, and attorneys.
The fines, the management, half the time the HOA doesn't know it. And we should not be fining. I cannot understand the concept of giving one neighbor the power to fine another neighbor because he's growing tomatoes instead of apricots. I mean, you know, what kind of sheer insanity is that? Plus, we have two states that have declared fining to be unconstitutional. Now, I'm having arguments with a lot of people about whether it's a constitutional issue or whether it's contractual. Did you agree to be fined? Well, if I came to you and said, may I fine you, would you say, oh, yeah, please do?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I have a lawsuit that I'm engaging myself where I have fined a collection company for not supplying documents. Now, will I win that suit? I don't know. But it will be an interesting experiment in the courts. Do I have the right to fine the organization if they have the right to fine me? Now, as a side note, I'll say to the listener, I have opened up a licensed organization called HOA Board Monitoring Services. By the way, if anybody would like to donate to it, its sole purpose is to help homeowners pay their legal fees. I don't take any money from it as income. The only thing I do is pay all the court fees. If they would like to donate to it, do you want me to supply an address?
Yes, please do.
It's 1001 Calico Ridge Drive.
100, you gotta slow down, Gary.
1 Calico Ridge Drive. And that's in Henderson, H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, Nevada, 89011. And they can send it to Board Monitoring Services, H-O-A, Board Monitoring Services.
Do you have a website?
Not yet, but there will be one up. And there also is going to be a manual that will be up on that website that homeowners can download, which will give them all the documents and the legal papers and the necessary information so that they can file their own actions.
This will be
free. If they want to donate, fine. If not, it will still be free.
So now a lot of things are state-specific. A lot of laws are state-specific. A lot of documents would be states. How are you handling that?
The document that they'll be able to download, and by the way, I will have this up by the end of the year, taking time, will be a template, a guide that will simply say, here's what it looks like in Nevada. Go on to your local county court website and download the same document in your state. And that's pretty easy. So if I say to you, go on to the Florida county court, they have a place where all the forms are located. Simply download the form in your state.
So this would be, that sounds great. It sounds like a step-by-step guide on what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been filing lawsuits. Have you been doing it on your own, or have you been hiring an attorney?
I only do it on my own, as I think we've all learned, that the cost of filing a lawsuit is so enormous that it completely takes away the ability of the homeowner to have the funds to do the fight. So for the last 2 years, I've been studying, learning the court system, filing the cases, becoming more and more sophisticated at it. At the same time, I'm in contact with the local legal aid center. My goal is that ultimately a class will be offered to be able to do this. You may not be aware of this, but every city has a legal aid center. Every city offers classes on small claims lawsuits or on the elderly and so on. These classes would be for individuals who live in homeowners associations.
Wow, that's exciting.
Well, I'm hoping to have it done by the end of the year. It's been a slow process, a lot of resistance, and of course the resistance is if anything like this happens, it's going to lessen or slow down the amount of money being made by the collection companies, the management companies, the attorneys. And I can tell you they battle me in court as if they were fighting the case of the year. Because if any precedent is set in what I'm doing, it's going to create an enormous problem for them.
So how many lawsuits have you filed?
Well, I would say there are now 6 out there and another 5 being filed this year. Most of those lawsuits being filed are lawsuits regarding the super priority liens, which are not countrywide, but they are in many states.
Oh, yeah.
And so there are those of us who are trying to stop this. Our current lawsuits are before the Supreme Court.
So for those of you who don't know, because we've got a whole new group of people who are tuning in here, Gary. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about is the hierarchy of payments, right?
Yes.
So so you buy a house or a unit in a ghetto, and see, I do like that.
Well, good. It's all yours now. You own it.
I own it. We're in the ghetto. So you owe HOA dues, ghetto dues, and if you don't pay them, or if you're late, or if the ghetto decides to fine you, they can tack on a $10 fine, a $25 fine, a $100 fine, whatever the fine is. They can just add it on there. And you don't even have to know that it's there. So when you send in your dues, the ghetto will pay off the fine, and then you are in arrears.
That's correct.
And so then they add on interest, they add on penalties, and it just keeps going and going, and then they'll add more fines, and then you keep sending in your stuff. You're not aware of it. You think you're perfectly, you know, up to date, and you've been a good person. You've been doing your duty. But you don't realize that the ghetto is misapplying all of your money to something else. And then you start getting the letters from the HOA attorney. You scumbag, you slime bag, you're trying to feed off your neighbors, you have no conscience. You know, and they go through this whole nonsense, and they go to the legislators, and they say, but it's not fair, Senator. You know, we just can't let these scofflaws, these bottom feeders, live off their neighbors. You've got to give us extra powers. So if you pay your assessment, and by the way, everybody, if you're going to write a check to your HOA, for God's sakes, in the memo line down there, put it to be applied to dues only, because then you have something of a legal standing to say, you know, I did not authorize you to do that.
And I can tell you what I do on all my checks to the HOA is they're always paid under protest. The reason why is that if I go to court, the judge says, well, why did you pay it? And I say, I had no choice. Well, how do we know that? By putting paid under protest, I now have a statement to the court. I didn't want to do it, but I was forced to.
So there you go. We need bigger checks. You're going to put paid under duress.
That's right.
Just put it on there. Put it on there.
Yes, absolutely. Set yourself up so that at least you have some way you can move. I will also tell you that I have cases from people where they did in fact pay their dues, but at the other end they destroy the checks. The individual who paid their due didn't check to see if it was cashed, and now they're in default. And this is happening more. They can literally decide who they want to foreclose on by simply never cashing the check.
You know what I've recommended, and it's not always feasible because of the setup. In my HOA, we have an office and everybody's sitting right there, so it's okay. You can walk into the office and hand them your check. What I usually say is make a photocopy of the check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never done this because I've never, you know, it's not, I should, but make a photocopy of the check. Take the check in and hand it to them and get them to sign your paper, your photocopy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having problems,
right.
that you did deliver it to them.
Right. But I would suggest, in addition to that, always check and make sure the check has been cashed. Always.
Yeah.
Because even if they sign for it, even if you give it to them, they can say afterwards, well, we didn't get it. For whatever reason, by that time, the legal process has gone too far.
Yeah.
Confirm that it's been cashed.
Confirm that it's been cashed. Confirm that you did hand deliver it, because they signed to say that they accepted it, and they have the check there. So it's terrible.
As you know, the target groups that they're going after are the elderly, the infirm, those individuals with high equity, and individuals, women with children. These are the four target groups that are easy to get, because either they're overwhelmed or they're simply too ill to maintain themselves.
We're talking to Dr. Gary Solomon about HOAs and all the wonderful things. Oh, well, actually, they're now called ghettos. And all the things that the ghettos are doing to the members, the homeowners in them. And there's a lot there to learn, and there's a lot to remember and a lot to understand, but it's really quite terrifying. There's another group that's targeted. Actually, two other groups that are targeted. I hear from a lot of people who are not Native Americans, who were not born in this country, and they're always terrified that they have, quote-unquote, broken the law, and that they're going to get deported because some little tin soldier marching around the ghetto has cited them for having a cracked flower pot, a dusty mailbox, who knows? You know, whatever it happens to be, whatever, an unapproved garden hose. And all of a sudden, they're terrified that they've done something illegal. Guys, you haven't.
Yes.
And another group that really bothers me is children.
Yes.
Children are being targeted. You're hearing about two-year-olds who are not allowed to use chalk, sidewalk chalk, because they're devaluing property. You're hearing about, you know, 5, 8, 10-year-olds who are setting up lemonade stands to raise money to help the elderly in the neighborhood and help them pay for things, and they're being fined and targeted and told to take things down. Anytime you see a child who's doing something, taking the initiative to fix a problem, to raise funds to help someone, to protect the animals, any time they do something like that, or find just a place for themselves to go in their own backyards and get over the horrors of chemotherapy or something, you have some HOA ghetto police out there after them. And that's a group that really bothers me, Gary. It really, really bothers me.
Yes, I agree with you completely. I can go through neighborhoods, my own neighborhood being one of them, and the streets are empty. The streets are vacant. They've terrified people to the point where they sequester themselves in the house. They don't go outside. There's no kids playing. And it's hard for me to imagine that anybody that's in doing these things, they were once children themselves. And I've only come to believe in time that these were people who were abused. They were people who were bullied, and now that they're adults, now they can pay back, and they pay it back to anybody.
Haven't we all been bullied at some point?
Yes, we certainly have. We certainly have been bullied, and everybody to a different degree. The question is, what has been the psychological effect? Now, one of the things I'm attempting to do, amongst the many things I'm trying to do, is to propose a bill where people who get on boards, are people who go into this industry, must have a psychological background and test given. Now, this is going to fail because we're simply not going to allow it. You can have it when you go into the service. You can have it when you go into the FBI, all of those people. But they're not going to allow this, but at least I will have tried and said it.
You know what? I like that. I'm going to get behind you on that one. Psychological test for all board and HOA. And ghetto workers or ghetto employees or ghetto, what does one call them? bottom feeders?
Yes. I would call them Nazis, but
well, we're going to lose a lot of people there, but no, I like that. I like that because, and you know, the other thing is, I think that anybody who's going to do this should live in an HOA.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You shouldn't have all these people living in the free zone dictating what goes on inside the walls, inside the ghetto.
Yes.
They need to be a part of it. They need to have to take their own medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I agree completely. And I think the people who are part of the larger group, the collection, the management, that group, they know better than to live in these neighborhoods because they know what they're doing to everybody.
Yes. No, I agree. And I think that they ought to live in them. They can't just sit on the outside and come up with all these laws, because that's who's writing the laws. That's who's coming up with all these wonderful notions of what HOAs or ghettos should be able to do. In fact, we just killed some really horrendous laws in Virginia, or proposed legislation in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that no one living in one of these things would actually propose it, except that the legislator who did carry the bill does live in one, and it makes me wonder whether he's got the sense to the intelligence to be in the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's difficult. It's a difficult question. You ask a difficult question. You create a difficult thought.
Well, it's kind of hard not to, because it smacks you. I mean, you're standing there and you're talking to them. And, we went down. Yes. I got to tell you. I mean, I've done several shows on this, so this is not new. But we went down to Richmond to lobby against some of these bills. The legislators carrying these bills had no idea what the bill did. They had no idea what was in the bill. They had no ability to defend the bill, to explain the bill, to answer questions about the bill. They had to bring in some of the lobbyists to explain why they felt the bill was needed. I mean, these guys had no idea, Gary. They're clueless.
Mm-hmm. They are clueless. They are clueless. I've sat in those legislative meetings. They are completely clueless. They simply have government jobs and positions, and they really don't know what it is that they're deciding for or against. That, too, is very sad.
It is sad. It's incredibly sad. But let's go back to Florida, where we have this 82-year-old who's in the hospital because he was being evicted. Well, in fact, while he was in the hospital, according to whatever I read, some of the nicer neighbors in the ghetto had to go and pack his stuff up and get him removed. And we're talking about a trailer park. We're not talking about a bunch of mansions. Come on, guys.
Yes.
It sort of makes you wonder, what on earth is going on?
Yes. Well, again, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the show. These are people that are getting pleasure from other people's pain. And until we truly understand that concept, we're going to keep on saying, why is this happening? What's going on? Why is this taking place?
But
this is a pleasure-oriented process.
But not everybody gets pleasure. I can understand the next-door neighbor. Maybe they don't like him, and maybe they want him gone, and maybe they'd rather see apricots rather than tomatoes and cucumbers growing. But the rest of the country, the rest of the city, the rest of the town, I mean, they don't have a dog in the fight.
No, they don't. And I'm going to suggest here, and I think that you'll agree, when you don't have a dog in the fight, to use your phrase, people's apathy gets in the way. You know what? It's happening to them, not me. It's not my problem. And so people are turning their heads. The only time they look forward is when it's happening to them.
That's sad, but I think there's something else that goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fear. Because nobody wants to stick their heads out. Nobody wants to stand up and probably become a target for speaking out against such despicable behavior.
Yes. Fear and apathy, absolutely.
So how do we turn that around? Is there any way of turning that around?
You know, this is going to sound defeatist, but I think history tells us that it doesn't get turned around until it's too late. And people don't realize it until it's too late. And this goes on with a lot of, I don't care whether I'm talking about ecology or global warming, whatever it is, it's not a problem right now. So I'm not concerned. But suddenly, when it's too late, I guess I should have been concerned. And history tells us that this is the case.
I think if you live in an HOA and you find out, I mean, I've talked to so many people who've been in the fight of their lives to try and protect their homes and all of that. But they go to their neighbors, and neighbors will say, yeah, we're on your side, but we don't want to step forward. We don't want to say and or do anything, because then they will target us. That, to a certain point, I do understand. And there's a certain amount of fear there.
Yeah.
My fear is, if I don't stand up, I'm going to have to live with whatever the consequences, and the consequences are not going to be nice.
That is correct.
That fear is, for me, that fear is much, much greater, because if they keep getting away with it, they're going to keep getting away with it.
Yes. There are those of us who can't sleep at night if we don't do something. There are those out there who sleep very well at night by harming other people. That's the pleasure. Look at how much money I made today. Look at what I did to my next door neighbor. I've had a good day. We're all built differently, and it's difficult to know exactly what caused what in us.
That's scary.
Yes.
That is really, really scary.
Mm-hmm. But I would say to you that this is a worldwide problem. It just isn't here. We're focused, of course, today on the HOA. But again, I'm going to tell you that history dictates that this, in fact, is the case.
And there's no way of turning things around. You cannot. Morals and stories and things that we were brought up on as children. Doesn't that make a difference? Does that not get through?
You know, it doesn't appear to. If we look at what's going on with bullying in schools, one would think that as much information that's gone out on bullying, that it would stop, but it's gotten worse. And it continues to get worse, and children continue to be affected by those bullies. Now, what we don't ask ourselves is, now that those children are now growing up, what will they become? Are they the individuals who grow up and say, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to go and live in an HOA. I'm going after people. And these people love it. They love doing this to people.
You know, I'm listening to you here, and I'm imagining all of these ads that we have, for new developments, new ghettos that are being built with crystal blue sparkling swimming pools and manicured lawns and people just sitting around having parties and having fun. And, they don't tell you about that. People are not buying into that. They're buying this into the idea of a lifestyle.
Yes.
A lifestyle that's all pretty and clean and nice and gentle and genteel.
Well, let me give your listeners an assignment. Go out to any HOA that's selling homes, brand new subdivision, and say to the salesperson, I want to buy a home in this HOA, and I understand that it's an HOA, but I'd like a document that says that the HOA will not act on a foreclosure. They won't produce it. Now, I think that's very telling. That is to say that there are laws that give them the right, but there is no law that says you must act. Why do they act? Why do they go forward? Why do they do this? And we're back to the pleasure, and we're back to the profit. And I've never come across an HOA that will agree to sign such a document.
There's a website in Texas, in Harris County, Texas, which is where Houston is, hoadata.org. And this is where a family tracked
the Beanie Adolf, tracked the foreclosure filings, not necessarily all the foreclosures, the foreclosure filings, and listed them by HOA and by attorney who sort of started the foreclosure. And one of the attorneys came up on top, and I can't remember his name offhand, but he came up, he was given credit for a whole lot of foreclosure filings. So the paper went to him and said, do you realize that you are the top of the heap and that they have you down for giving you credit for X number of foreclosure filings? His response was, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. I've done a whole lot more than that.
Yes.
He's now in jail, I think, because he was found with all kinds of child pornography on his computer. But is that... I hear the... Yeah.
But look at the irony to this. We couldn't stop him when he was doing what he was doing. We have to stop him on another law. We don't arrest Al Capone for everything that he did. We arrest him on tax evasion.
You know, you're absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct.
Both of us are terribly frustrated. All of us are terribly frustrated. And it is so difficult to know if there's going to be some peaceful end to this. My concern is that it won't be peaceful, and then more people are going to die, and more people are going to end up in the hospital, and more people are going to get hurt. But I will also tell you this, and there's a major study out of Romania that shows this, that it is the children of those individuals that are being harmed that will do the retaliating. Because they're going to remember what happened to their mother and father and grandmother and grandfather. And when they go into adults, they're going to start retaliating in violence, not legally.
You know, you've said this before on the show, and I think that's terrifying. I wish there was some way that people would stand up for themselves now, put the fear aside. I think the fear is that you're not doing anything.
Yes.
Because there's more of us than there is of them, and there's strength in number. And, you know, it's amazing what just one person can do.
And I'm going to dive in here and say we've done studies of what took place during the Nazi regime. And why didn't the prisoners fight back? Where there were hundreds of thousands of them, there were far less guards. Why didn't they do something? And the answer is the fear and the separation. As long as everybody remains frightened and separated, there isn't going to be any or very little response to this. And why don't people fight back? They're not united. And so I'll say that another goal of mine is to get us united, is to create one website where all people can visit, where all organizations can exist, where they can divide off by state, but that they register onto the one website to get information. Currently, we're very fragmented. It's a group here and a group there and one here and one there. We now need to come together. Your show is part of that uniting. Because people can say, I'm going to become part of this group. That's my goal with HOA Board Monitoring Services. Get people united, get people involved together so that we can fight together. Ultimately, I would like to see a billboard in every area of the United States that allows people to get information, to go ultimately to a website to get support and help.
How about making it mandatory for anybody, any real estate agent or any development selling in a ghetto, that they provide them with the URL for the website?
You bet. Absolutely. And getting them to do that right now has been difficult because it hurts their income.
But that's something we can get done through the legislature. That's
I do believe so.
That's something that we can provide because, look, they're making the laws and they're not providing adult supervision to protect their constituents and the taxpayers. The
yes.
least they can do is provide them with a venue somewhere where they can go and
yes.
some place where they can get help.
Yes.
Gary, you are amazing. I love you. I love having you on the show, and I love talking to you. But we
well,
are out of time.
To you too.
We are absolutely out of time right now, but thank you, and I hope you'll be back really soon.
I'm here whenever you want to chat. It's a great opportunity, and it's wonderful talking to you, too.
Thanks, Gary.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.